sitting on the side of the highway waiting for a speeder one day. A highway patrolman saw this car puttering along at 22 miles an hour. He thought to himself, this is just as dangerous as somebody that's breaking the speed limit. And so he decided to pull this car over. He pulled out, turned on his lights and his siren. He pulled the car over, and he walked up to the window, and he noticed that there were five old ladies in this car. Two in the front, three in the back. He looked inside the car, and he noticed all of the ladies but the driver had eyes wide open. They were sweating, and they were white as ghosts. The driver, obviously confused, said to the officer, sir, I don't understand. I wasn't speeding. What seems to be the problem? Ma'am, the officer replies, you weren't speeding, but you should know that driving less than the speed limit is just as dangerous as exceeding the speed limit. She said, but officer, I just saw a sign back there. It said 22, and I am doing 22 miles an hour. The officer chuckled and said, ma'am, that's the route. It's route 22. And he said, be careful, and he let her go. But he said, ma'am, before I let you go, is everyone in this car okay? Because these women seem awful shaken, and they haven't muttered a single peep the whole time. And the driver says, oh, they'll be all right in a minute. We just got off of Route 119. In the theme song from the animated movie Cars, Rascal Flatts sings, life's like a road that you travel on. One day you're here and the next day you're gone. And then it goes, of course, into the familiar chorus, life is a highway. I gotta ride it all night long, right? In life, there are two roads. There's the narrow road and there is the wide road. The Bible tells us that these two roads are as different as night and day. Those who choose the broad road enter through the wide gate. They have no regard for spiritual matters or the things of God, and they live as they please without considering the teachings of Jesus. This broad road leads to destruction, and then there is the narrow road. One enters the narrow road through the narrow gate by repenting of their sins and by faith trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, and then living every day to obey His commands. There are several things that the Lord warns us about as He wraps up the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount, as you recall, is the greatest sermon by the greatest preacher who ever lived. It is Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. So here we are at the conclusion of Matthew chapter 7, and Jesus is wrapping up this greatest sermon ever preached. And He warns the crowd, as well as us, of three things. He first of all warns us of the false path. He warns us of the false path. Life is a highway, as I stated earlier. And Jesus sets before us the two roads upon which people can travel, and both lead to somewhere. One road leads to heaven, the other road leads to hell. And now, of course, everybody has to make a decision concerning the road that they travel. Every day you and I make decisions. There are minor decisions about if we're going to have oatmeal or cold cereal, if we're going to have toast or we're going to have a Pop-Tart. Those are minor decisions. There are more major decisions every day about are we going to invest our money in this, or who are we going to marry, or how many children we're going to have. But there is no decision greater than the decision that Jesus highlights in verses 13 and 14 when He says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. There are two roads in life. First of all, Jesus talks about the road that leads to hell. He said, "Wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it." The broad road is very easy to get on. All you have to do is enter through the wide gate. It is an easy road upon which to travel. And if you choose to travel the broad road, you will travel with a huge crowd. In fact, the majority of the people in this world are on this road. Most people are just kind of cruising through life. They're not really thinking what road they're on. They're not really thinking where they're headed. I remember getting lost one time. And we ended up in who knows where. And my wife said, "Where are we?" And I said, "I don't know, but we sure made good time." Every road leads to somewhere, doesn't it? You better stop and consider the road that you're on, because it's leading somewhere. The broad road is easy, fun, and popular, but the Bible says there is a way that seemeth right, but in the end it is the way of death. If you travel the broad road, you're going to find that things are not as they appear. For example, this peach looks juicy and delicious. But upon further examination, you will discover that this peach is only a plastic decoration. The lures and the temptations of this world are artificial. The devil, that's the way he always works. The devil always gives you his best, and then when he hooks you, it starts getting worse and worse. The devil, he gives you what he's got best first, and then it gets worse. And the broad road is more narrow as you go along the way. You will discover that as your friends die and your loved ones begin to pass away, all of a sudden death is staring you in the face. You say, "Preacher, doesn't that happen to people on the road to heaven?" Yes, but there's a huge difference. The Bible says that those who don't know the Lord are without God and without hope in this world. And what a sad life it is when a person comes to the end of their journey of life and life is becoming more and more narrow and their health is slipping away and their friends are gone and their feelings of loneliness and fear and insecurity are beginning to dominate their life. Listen, friends, if you die in your sins, if you die without ever repenting of your sins and choosing Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're on a road that's going to lead to hell, which is going to lead to eternal weeping and gnashing of teeth, which is going to lead to eternal torment. And so Jesus warns us, don't take this path. Jesus warns us of the false path, but he also encourages us to choose the right way, the narrow road, the road that leads to heaven. Listen to what he says in verse 13. Enter by the narrow gate. And then he says in verse 14, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. Now, Jesus says the only way to get on the road to heaven is through the narrow gate. What is the narrow gate? The narrow gate is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ did not say, "I am a way, a truth, and a life." He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way to heaven except through me." That is the narrow gate. In my mind, I have a picture of a turnstile. You know what a turnstile is? When you go to a ball game or go to Disney World, they have a turnstile. And a turnstile means that you go through one person at a time. You don't go through in mass droves, do you? It's one person at a time. And what Jesus is trying to communicate to us here is that your daddy can't get saved for you. Your mama can't get saved for you. Your grandparents can't get saved for you. Your pastor can't get saved for you. Your best friend can't get saved for you. You've got to go through that turnstile gate by yourself. It is the narrow road and the narrow gate is the only way. And you've got to make your decision to enter through the narrow gate. I hope you've made your decision to be on the narrow road. I hope you've gone through that narrow gate. If you haven't, in a few moments, I hope that you'll make that decision today. Let me tell you, about the road to heaven. Whereas the road to hell gets more narrow, the road to heaven gets more wide as it goes. Now, what do I mean by that? I mean that there's more joy, there's more satisfaction, more fulfillment with each passing day. It's as the song says, every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. So if you're on the narrow road, it gets wider as it goes, doesn't it? So Jesus warns us about the false path. He says that everybody's got to make their own decision. And then he talks about the fact that there is a destination out there. My wife will tell you that I never take the same route anywhere. I always find a new route. I find a new route anywhere I go. And I just, I like to travel the roads and find a new path. Because I believe that every road leads somewhere, right? One of these days, God's children are going to go through the experience of death, and it's going to be just like the psalmist said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I tell you, friends, on the day that we taste death, if we are a believer, we are going to be reunited with our saved loved ones, and the Lord himself is going to be there to welcome us, and he's going to say, welcome home, my child. And then one by one, we are going to be greeted by all these folks who have preceded us in death who have trusted Christ as their Savior. What a great reunion that's going to be. I tell you, I sure am glad I'm on the narrow road today. Now, the hell road and the heaven road intersect at only one point in human history and human experience. The hell road and the heaven road intersect at the cross of Calvary. And it is at the cross where the blood ran red that a person who is on the road to hell can receive Jesus as their Savior and embark upon a new road that leads to heaven. Hallelujah. In 1915, Robert Frost wrote a poem titled, The Road Not Taken. The poem begins this way. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and I cannot travel both. And then the poem concludes like this. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled, and that has made all the difference. All of us, whether we realize it or not, we stand at a spiritual crossroads. And there are two paths in front of us. There is the narrow road and there is the wide road. The narrow road is difficult. The wide road is easy. The narrow road is long. The wide road is short. The narrow road is disciplined. The wide road is undisciplined. The narrow road is thoughtful. The wide road is thoughtless. And we've got to choose one road or the other. And the wide road leads to hell, and the road less traveled, the narrow road leads to heaven. Jesus warns us about the false path. Make sure what road you're on. Make sure you're on the right road. Secondly, Jesus warns us about false prophets. Now, he says here in verse 15, beware of false prophets. Now, why does Jesus talk about false prophets? Because false prophets are the devil's secret agents to try to keep us from being on the right road. They want to try to mess with us and keep people from finding the right way. And their mission on this earth is to get so many people on the road to hell as they possibly can. And Jesus warned us against false prophets. He says there will be many false Christs and false prophets who will appear. Look around. We see that right now, don't we? I want you to notice how he deals with them, because it's important for us to understand how a false prophet works, because we need to know who false prophets are, and we need to shun them and stay away from them, right? First of all, he talks about what they pretend. He talks about what they pretend. He says they will come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are nothing but a wolf. In other words, a false prophet will look the part. They will adorn themselves. They will appear to be genuine. But then eventually their true self will come out. Now, a sheep's worst enemy is a wolf. It terrorizes a sheep for a wolf to get among the sheep. And so a false prophet will appear to be genuine. And here's why it's so difficult to detect a false prophet. Because of the way they pretend. They appear to be just fine. They sound fine. They sound orthodox. They sound genuine. But on the inside, Jesus says destruction and violence against God's sheep is their intention. They want to mess you up spiritually, and they want to cause you to question your faith and to turn against God. Jesus says not only look at what they pretend, but look at what they produce. Notice what he says next in verse 16. You will know them by their fruits. He's saying don't just look at their appearance. Don't just look at their what they look like on Sunday, but look at their lifestyle. Listen to their conversation. Notice their actions. Listen to them talk. What kind of converts are they producing? And then Jesus used an illustration about a tree here. He said, do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Now, in other words, when you look at a tree, there's only one way to tell what kind of tree that is, and that is to pick the fruit and eat the fruit. Okay? Because trees can, even, like people, can give a false pretense, can't they? At the beginning of this chapter, Jesus said, do not judge, but he says here that we are to look at the fruit. We need to look at what they are producing. You see, a person's nature will eventually come out. Character will come out. Anybody can play the part on Sunday morning. But you hang around somebody long enough, you spend time with them so long enough, you're going to hear the way they talk. You're going to hear the way, you're going to see the way they really act. You're going to see that they're just putting on a front on Sundays. Character will eventually display itself. You may think a person is genuine, but somewhere down the road, you're going to find out that they may be phony. Every tree will be revealed by the quality of fruit it produces. People are known the same way. We are called to be fruit inspectors. We need to listen to what people are teaching. We need to watch how people are acting. We need to see what they are doing, and we'll tell if they're a false prophet or not, trying to lead us astray. The Bible says, by their fruits you shall know them. Jesus warns us about false prophets. And then the third thing that Jesus does is he warns us about a false profession. Some people think they're saved and they're not. They think they're on the right road because they're a member of a church that they haven't been to in 35 or 45 years. They think they're on the right path because they've been baptized not once, but twice, but three times. They think they're on the right path because they had a church wedding. Hello? They think they're on the right path because they stood up here and paraded their child on baby dedication day and we haven't seen them since. They think they're on the right path because mama and daddy were charter members or their grandparents are buried in the church cemetery. But they're on the broad road to hell and they don't even know it. A woman called her husband on the cell phone one day and she said, honey, are you on the interstate yet? He said, yes, why? She said, well, be careful. I heard on the news there's an idiot on the interstate going the wrong way. And the husband replied, it's not just one idiot, it's a whole bunch of idiots. Friends, there are a lot of people going the wrong way and they don't even know it. Right? You see, a person could claim that they're a Christian, but they're not one. Look at verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. A profession of faith is not enough. Did you know that the Bible says even the demons believe and tremble? Now, are the demons saved? No, of course not. You see, there are a lot of people who profess to be Christians. They pride themselves in saying, I'm on that church roll, I'm in that computer. Well, whoop-de-doo. It's one thing to profess and another thing to possess. Are you with me? I believe that there are some people who are going to miss heaven by 18 inches because their belief is here instead of here. But profession does not prove possession. So Jesus said, not everybody who says, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. You may profess Christ as your Savior, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you possess Him in your heart. Look at what Jesus says. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. And then he says something very interesting here. He says, many will say to me in that day. What day? The day of judgment. The day of judgment. You see, there's going to be a day of judgment when you and I are going to stand before holy God. One by one, just like going through that turnstile, we're going to stand one by one by God. We're not going to have people saying, but Pastor Tim did this. But he was a good person. We're going to have to stand there individually by ourselves in front of God. And there's going to be a day of judgment. And so we better make sure our profession is not merely profession, but it is possession. Jesus said there are going to be people on that day of judgment who will say, Lord, Lord. And he, in fact, he says some of them are going to say, have we not preached in your name? Have we not stood behind the pulpit and preached? Have we not conducted revivals? And then he said there are going to be others who are going to say, have we not cast out demons in your name? And then still others will say, have we not performed miracles in your name? Now you say, preacher, if they have preached and they have conducted exorcisms and they have performed miracles, surely they got to be of God. Nope. Because the Bible says in Matthew 24:24, for false Christ and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. So on that great judgment day, there are going to be preachers there. There are going to be exorcists there. There are going to be miracle workers there. And they're going to be priding themselves and saying, but we did all of this. And we did it in your name. And Jesus is going to say to them in verse 23, the four saddest words that anybody could possibly hear, I never knew you. I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Are you a child of God? Do you know that for a fact this morning? I'm not asking if you've been baptized. I'm not asking if you've signed a card. I'm not asking if you've been through a membership class. I'm not asking if you're a good person. I'm not asking if your name is on a roll somewhere. I'm not asking if you got ancestors buried in a church cemetery. I'm not asking if you've had a church wedding. I'm not asking you if you've dedicated your child on stage before all these men and women. I'm asking you, have you ever professed and possessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? I don't want you to leave this place without knowing for sure. Now, as Jesus closes out the Sermon on the Mount, he shares the illustration of a man building his house upon the rock and a man building his house upon the sand. All of us are building a house. You know that? My wife's always said, I want us to build a house. Well, honey, we're building a house. It's called a life. A lot cheaper. All of us are building a house. It's a life, and our life is compared to building a house. And the Bible says the wise man builds his house upon the rock, but the foolish man builds his house upon the sand. Do you know what a sinkhole is? We had one over here in our student center parking lot a few years ago. A truck, it caved in, and the front of a truck went off into that hole. It wasn't very deep, but it was a sinkhole. A sinkhole is a place where there's not solid ground, and after time, the rains begin to pour, and then the ground just caves in. Do you know that there are a lot of people who have built their lives upon spiritual sinkholes? They built their lives upon the sand. And when the rains come, the ground gives way. You need to build your life upon the rock, right? Amen? Now, what does it mean to build your life upon the rock? It doesn't mean to build your life on him. Okay? It means to build your life on him. Now, I want you to understand, the same experiences come to every house. Verse 25 reminds us that the rains descend, the floods come, the winds blow, and they beat upon the house, and the same experiences come to both houses. Every life has its share of storms and its difficulties. Every life has its troubles and its trials. Every life has its heartaches and its sorrows. The rains fall and the storms blow and the winds beat against the house of life. But you see, friends, what makes the difference is the foundation that you have built your house upon. If your life is built upon the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, when the storms of life come, your house will stand. But if your house is built upon the sands, the ways of this world, the temporary things of this world, when the rains come, your house is going to go tumbling down. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Well, the greatest sermon by the greatest preacher is over. In verses 28 and 29 tell us that the people were astonished. But hopefully the people weren't just amazed. Hopefully they weren't just stirred in their emotions. Hopefully they made a decision that day to enter the narrow gate and get on the road to heaven by accepting Jesus as their Savior. And friend, my sermon's over. And hopefully you haven't been amazed or you haven't been entertained. Your emotions haven't just been stirred. But hopefully you've been faced with the challenge that you've got to make a decision. You got to make a decision. The decision is yours. You got to decide. You want to be on the wide road with everybody else, or do you want to be on the narrow road with just a few headed to heaven? If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, I want to invite you to come this morning and be saved. Because the Bible says this: today is the day of salvation. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart, but be saved. Amen. Pray with me. Father, thank you for the awesome privilege of preaching your word today. And God, I pray just as you ended every parable that you ever shared, those that have ears, let them hear what the Spirit is saying. For someone here today, Lord, that needs to make a decision, I pray that today they will not hesitate, procrastinate, put it off, make excuses, be distracted. I pray that that will be the first and foremost thing on their mind when I say amen, to get down this aisle and say, I am ready to join the church. I am ready to be saved. I am ready to be baptized. I want to renew my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Today I want to build my house upon the rock. Bind Satan, Lord. Help him not to distract anyone that needs to make a decision. We give you this time, Lord, because we know that you are waiting patiently, gently, with arms open wide, saying, all who are weak and heavy laden, come unto me, and I will give you rest. There's some people here today, Lord, that need rest. There's some people here that need salvation. There's some people here that need to do business with you. Would you lead them to do that right now as we stand to sing this song? Amen.